What I'd like you to do first is turn over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That'll be a starting place. There's something we want to point out here in this passage, or in this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So here in this passage, we can see that we're body, soul, and spirit. We're three part, okay? Body, soul, and spirit. And I think that many of you, you know, have that understanding. There's not a question in your mind about that. However, I wanted you to look at this verse just to reinforce what you already know, that we are body, soul, and spirit. We're a three-part entity, if you want to put it that way. But now turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll read a few verses beginning in verse 16. It says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward is renewed day by day." Now, where he says the outward man, just based on this verse alone, what do you think he's talking about? Nobody knows. Hallelujah. Your body. Your body. Now, let's keep reading here, and it'll become very clear. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Okay, now very briefly, what do you see when you look at yourself in the mirror? Your body or your spirit? You see your body. So the thing which is seen is temporal. The part of you, spirit, which is not seen, is eternal. Chapter 5, verse 1. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be, that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." Hallelujah. Now, can you see here he's drawing a contrast between your body and your spirit and a glorified body? Can you see that? Because when he's talking here that if our earthly house, well, obviously he's talking there about your flesh. If our earthly house is dissolved, done away with, begone, he says, not to worry. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Well, again, when you talk about, you know, a glorified body and a non-glorified body, and he goes on and talks about us being clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, he's talking about us as a spirit being clothed with a glorified body. But notice how he's using the term house in this. How that our body is a house, and then he talks about us being clothed by that house. Do you understand this? You see this? Okay. Now, let's think for a moment here. When you get born again, you receive the life of God. You know, we talk about praying the sinner's prayer, and we tell people to ask Jesus into their heart. Well, we know that literally, Jesus does not climb inside your heart, but that's just a figure of speech we use, and we understand what it means. But when we get born again, we receive the life of God. Now, when we receive the life of God, does that life take up residence in our car, our dog, or our body? In our body. Now, we know it's spiritual life, okay? But you understand what I'm talking about. How that when we receive that life is housed in this body, in this flesh. So now we have God's life on the inside. And that life on the inside is supposed to be working through us to get to the outside to minister to people. That's part of what, you know, ministry is all about. So Paul is using this term, house, to represent our body. And there are several passages of Scripture. I think over in Mark chapter 9, might be verse 37. But there are several passages of Scripture in the four Gospels which talk about receiving Jesus, okay? And how that when we believe in Him, we receive Him. I'm paraphrasing greatly here. But now when we believe in Him and we receive Him, once again, it's not actually Him physically, if you will, climbing on the inside of us. We are receiving what He has to offer. That maybe is another way to put that. So, using the analogy that Paul has used here, that the house, that our body is a house, then when we receive Jesus into our life, the life we receive from Him is housed in this body, correct? So in this body, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that life is in you, in that flesh house that you have right now. And someday, that flesh house that you have is going to be changed. The mortal shall put on immortality. We know all about that. Okay, now, with this in mind, turn over to Luke. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I want you to see something. Look in Luke chapter 10 at verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was encumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she would help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now look at this again. When Jesus came into this town, it says that Martha received him into her house. Whose house was it, Jesus or Martha? Martha's house. Okay, everybody pinch yourself and make sure you're awake. Whose house was it, Jesus' house or Martha's house? Martha's house. Hallelujah. Now, how'd Jesus get into the house? Walked in. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay, let me put it this way. Yeah, he walked in. What gave Jesus the right to walk into that house? He was invited in, correct? So Martha received him into her house. But it says that Martha had a sister. And Martha's sister was named Mary, right? So we have two people, Martha and Mary, living in the same house, right? Okay, now what are we? What do we read over there in Thessalonians? We are body, soul, and spirit. What did Paul call the body? He called it a house. Who was invited into the house? Jesus. Who lived in the house? Martha and Mary. Okay? Now, when you're born again, before you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what part of you is the most awake, the most conscious? Your spirit or your soul? Your soul. Let me put it another way. Which part of you has death? Spirit or soul? Spirit. Your spirit. Your spiritual death. Okay? I'm not trying to trick you up. I'm trying to lead you along here. You have spiritual death because until you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't have any spiritual life, right? So when it comes to preaching the gospel, what part of you is responding to what you hear? Is it the spirit part or the soul part that's hearing the message preached. It's the soul. Because your spirit has no life, does it? And because your spirit has no life, it has nothing in common with God. Do you understand this? So when the preaching of the gospel is presented to you, it's the soulish part of you that is reasoning this out, okay? One of the best ways to help you reason is if you see a demonstration of God's power, correct? Well, anyway, the soulish part of you is the part that is hearing me right now. Now, hopefully, anything good that's said, that is truth, is going to pass through the soul and get into the spirit and produce some action, some change. But your soul hears these things. Now, when somebody preaches to you and you hear Jesus loves you and Jesus will never leave you, He'll never forsake you, Jesus, He's the answer, He's Lord and Savior, etc., and so forth, you're hearing this, but you have spiritual death on the inside, so you can't relate to what Jesus can do for you. All you know is death. So you make a decision, however, to trust this. And when you do, you say, okay, Jesus, I've heard this message about the fact that you loved me. And, you know, I can relate to the fact, even in my soulish realm, I can relate to the fact that if I compare things in my life to things in the Bible, there is no comparison. I've done some bad stuff, Jesus. So I want what you offer. I choose to accept you into my life. Well, at that moment, what happens? There's a change, is there not? Hallelujah. And now you pass from spiritual death to spiritual life because who comes in? Jesus, right? And gives you spiritual life. Okay, now, in this story, I know you guys are catching on quickly here. In this story, Mary and Martha are in the same house. Jesus has been invited in, okay? Now, look what's going on. It says Mary received him, or Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So now, who's sitting at the foot of Jesus listening? Mary. Verse 40. But Martha, living in the same house, but Martha was encumbered about much serving. Now, this word encumbered, it comes from a Greek word, perispeo. Maybe I mispronounced it, I don't know. But what it means is to be drawn around by the mind. Now, how many of you are Three Stooges fans? Listen, man, I'm telling you what. You put on a Three Stooges marathon, I'm happy. I like those guys. They're hilarious. Have you ever seen any of those episodes where, you know, Mo, he's slapping Larry and Curly around, and it's like he'll take his two fingers and he'll stick them in Curly's nostrils and draw him along. You know what I'm talking about? Have you seen that? All right. This word encumbered about, this phrase, instead of the nostrils, it's your mind. You're being drawn around. Your mind. Your mind has stuck its fingers in your nostrils and is drawing you around. Okay? So now, think of it like this. Here's Mary and Martha. They've invited Jesus into the house. But now we've got a problem. Mary wants to sit at the feet of Jesus. But Martha, what does she want to do? Serve. Now think with me. She wants to serve. Now, what do you think got her all excited about serving? Was it all those people that came to visit her that day? Or do you think maybe it was because Jesus was in the house? See, just about anybody could have come by that day. But do you remember a fellow named Lazarus? Do you remember who he was related to? Mary and Martha? So do you think Martha was happy that Jesus was in her house? You better believe it. Now, because Jesus is in the house, this is great. Boy, I tell you, life has never been better. Jesus is in the house. I've got Jesus in my house. Wonderful. And you know what I'm going to do? By golly, I'm going to serve him. Who was she serving? Everybody in the house. No, she was serving Jesus. Everybody else was a benefactor of her service to Jesus. Because I guarantee you what, the bunch of them showed up without Jesus, she'd have probably said, go get your own food. But she was encumbered with much serving. Why was she serving? Jesus was in her house. How'd he get there? Well, she invited him in. And now that he's in, she's happy. It's wonderful. I love it that Jesus is here in my house. My life has been so much better since I invited Jesus into my house. And to show my appreciation, I'm going to serve you, Jesus. And boy, she got busy. And we don't know exactly what all that she was doing. But the scripture seems to indicate, at least in the Greek, it seems to indicate maybe she was preparing food, which would make sense. So here she is. She's scurrying about. Jesus is in the house. Well, he's never been here before, but Jesus is in the house. I invited Jesus into my house, and he came in. He came in, and by golly, this is Jesus, the man who raises people from the dead, and he deserves my service. So I'm going to serve Jesus, and anybody who's with him, I'll serve them too. She gets busy, and she's fixing stuff and preparing stuff, and she looks over. What does she see? Her sister. And her sister seems totally unconcerned about serving. Her sister seems all caught up in one thing. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Well, you can't serve the Lord if all you do is sit around. And you can't serve the people that love him if all you do is sit around. You have to do something. If you really were happy that he was in your house, you'd do something. You'd prove it. And so Martha's proving it, is she not? And I'll guarantee you, all the people that were there were going to benefit from her service, were they not? Including Jesus himself. If she's fixing hot dogs, boy, all beef hot dogs now. If she's fixing hot dogs, kosher. Yeah, all beef hot dogs with kosher dill pickles. Hallelujah. Oh, they're going to have a meal and a half. And she's preparing this, and she looks over, and she could use some help. And she says, she gets frustrated. She can't take it anymore. And she starts complaining. Jesus! Tell her to get up and help me. I'm serving you, Jesus. Don't you understand? Can't you see how busy I am serving you, Jesus? And all my stupid sister wants to do is sit at your feet. Jesus! Don't you care that my sister doesn't want to get involved with me in serving you? And Jesus, I'm sure he had a big smile on his face. He looks at her and he says, Martha, Martha. No, she's over here. Martha, Martha. He says, you're encumbered about many things. What other word does he use? Troubled. You're encumbered and troubled about many things. There is a needful part. And Mary has chosen the needful thing. Jesus did not say, Martha, you're not supposed to serve me. What he said was, at this moment, Martha, there is something more needful than acts of service. He said, Martha, your sister knows what is needful, and she has chosen that part. She has chosen to sit at my feet and hear my word. Now, let me ask you a question. After sitting at his feet and hearing his word, do you think she might have an idea of what he wants? What about Martha? Is she serving him? Absolutely. But how did she know what to do? It doesn't say that she was sitting at his feet. How does she know what to do? How does she know that if he wanted hot dogs or hamburgers? How did she know? It's because she came to the conclusion that what I am doing is going to benefit Jesus and everybody else who's with him. She came to the conclusion, based on what she felt was best, that this is the thing to do, to serve, to get everything ready to serve Jesus. And I cannot understand how that sister of mine, who lives in the same house with me, can desire nothing other than to sit at the feet of Jesus. What is wrong with her? Why doesn't she worry with me about getting all this stuff done? Can't she see? We're supposed to be serving Jesus. And there's Mary, soaking up every word. But now, what if Mary had gotten up and said, you know, my sister's right. I need to work with her instead of sitting over here at the feet of Jesus? Do you think Mary would have heard what Jesus was saying? No. And now you're going to have Martha and Mary caught up in the same thing, and neither one of them are hearing what Jesus has to say. But is he still speaking? Yeah, because all those people that had come in the house with him, he's still speaking. And anybody who would make the choice to sit at his feet would have heard what he was saying. Now, you know where I'm headed on this. Paul used the analogy that your body is a house. Martha invites Jesus into her house. What part of it? What part of us is it that responds to the gospel message when we hear it first? It's our soul. And we make a decision to invite Jesus into our house. Then what part of us becomes alive? Our spirit. And what part of us wants to sit at the feet of Jesus? Our spirit. You got a Martha and a Mary in you. Your Mary has benefited from Jesus coming in. Your Mary is your spirit. And your Mary wants to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what the Lord has to say, so that when he finishes speaking, Mary knows what's supposed to be done and the instructions can be passed on to Martha. Martha, no! He doesn't want a hot dog. He wants a hamburger. And he doesn't want potato salad. He wants, you know, green pea salad. Do you understand me, Martha? Yes, you're fixing him something to eat, but it's not what he wants. Yes, you're serving him, but it's not what he wants. And yes, there is going to be benefit to the people involved, but it's not what he wants. You're going to have to listen to me, Martha, because I'm the one that's been sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I know exactly what he wants. And he told me to pass some instructions on to you. Do you know what you're seeing here in this whole story? Jesus is now in the house, which symbolizes being born again. And you have Martha the soul and Mary the spirit. Are they in agreement? No. Mary wants to do this over here. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Martha wants to do something else and can't figure out or understand the value of just sitting in the presence of Jesus to hear what he has to say. This is describing an impasse. That's exactly what this passage is describing. It's when you get to the point to where you're just all frustrated and your emotions are trying to take over everything. What was happening in that story right there? Martha, the soul, where the emotions reside, had taken over the whole thing. You say, well, how do you figure that? Jesus can't talk to Mary and to Martha at the same time. Now, can he? So Martha, the emotions, all upset, interrupts the whole thing. Now, I don't know who all was there at that moment when she said this. I don't know if she tried to get him aside or if she just stomped up and just made a scene or what. But however it happened, Jesus had to stop what he was doing and deal with Martha. Where's Mary? She's still waiting on Jesus to hear what Jesus has to say. But Martha, the emotions in the soul, have taken over what the Spirit was hearing. Do you see this? So what had to happen? What's sad is that that's the end of the story. All we see is Jesus correcting Martha. We don't see what happened after that. But I can pretty well guess Martha decided that she better sit down and listen and let the meal go by the wayside. What's this got to do with us? I think by now you know what that has to do with us. You see, on the inside of you, there's this decision-making process. Now, your whole life, your decision-making process only had one source, the soul, because you had no spiritual life. So the decision-making process only had one source, which is the soul. So your whole life, your decision-making process is receiving information from Martha. And that's how you act. Your soul is telling you what to do based on the emotions of the circumstances. And you're making decisions along that line. Well, now all of a sudden, you've invited Jesus into the house. And now you have a Mary, an alive spirit. You're born again. And that spirit wants to sit at the feet of Jesus. Remember Jesus said how that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God? That's because when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and your life has come from Him, your life is dependent upon what He says. Listen, you lived your whole life. Before you accepted Jesus, you lived your whole life and you never once sat at the foot of Jesus. Oh, I mean, you may have gone to church and so forth, but you understand what I'm saying. You didn't have spiritual life in you. You didn't have Mary in you to receive from Him. Then you get born again and now you have Mary in there to receive from Him. And your spirit is sustained by the life in the Word of God. But your Martha just keeps going on as normal. Martha does not know what it's like to receive information from life. And so the decision-making process keeps leaning to Martha. And when Martha decides, I need to serve Jesus by doing this over here. Or if I go over here, I'm going to be able to touch somebody with the love of God. Or if I do this thing over here, there are a whole lot of people going to benefit from this. And the Lord will be blessed if I do this over here. It's a helpful thing. Well, what Martha was doing in that story was a helpful thing. But it wasn't the important thing at that moment. And so here we are. We are so happy. Our Martha is now happy. Yeah, I'm born again. I'm glad I'm born again. I'm glad that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad that I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And now, bless God, Jesus, I'm going to serve you. Now, Wayne, you've pastored before, and you know what that's like when people say that. I'll be here every week, Pastor. Why, hallelujah. I can't believe I found such a wonderful church. I'm going to be here. I'll serve God in this hallowed place. You know what that is, don't you? That's happy Martha responding out of emotions. But it's not Mary, because Martha has taken over. But the decision-making process doesn't understand what's happening, and the decision-making process says, well, yeah, this is cool. I mean, Jesus is in a house. What else would we do but serve Him? And then the first time something happens, somebody's stomach growls, Martha jumps up to fix a meal. See what I'm saying? Martha jumps up to go touch a life.
First time the phone rings. Martha hops to it. You see, have you ever known people that it was said of them, they're always there, no matter what? That's not always God. That's Martha responding to serve Jesus by touching people. Did Jesus tell Martha not to serve? No. He never said that serving was the wrong thing. He said there's a more needful thing at this moment. The more needful thing is to sit here at my feet, and your spirit knows the difference, because your spirit has my life and can connect with me. Your spirit understands, Martha, what you don't. That's why it talks about being renewed by the transforming of your mind, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's because your decision-making process has never known anything other than Martha input, emotion input. And so Martha keeps governing the show. This is why you can have people who come to church all the time and they seem like they're great people. And I'm not saying, and they are good people. They are good people. They love the Lord. But their Martha is stronger than their Mary. Because you see, if you're not sitting at the feet of Jesus, then you can't hear what he's saying. Very simple. How do you sit at the feet of Jesus? Who'd like to guess where I'm going at this one? How do you sit at the feet of Jesus? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm sending somebody to take over for me. And he said, Jesus said, I have a lot of things to say to you, but you can't bear them yet. But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will teach you all things. He will guide you into all truth. He will speak those things that he hears. Who's he hearing from? Jesus! Holy Spirit, tell him this. Holy Spirit, tell him that. Holy Spirit, tell him this. Holy Spirit, tell him that. And Holy Spirit is going to glorify Jesus. Jesus said he'll glorify me. He'll take what is mine and show it to you. How do you sit at the feet of Jesus? You pray in the Spirit. Because as you are praying in the Spirit, it's just like Mary has pulled up a chair and is sitting down at the feet of Jesus, or sitting cross-legged on the floor, however she did it. It's just like Mary has parked it right there. And she's receiving every word that the Lord has to say. We don't have that benefit. We don't physically sit down in front of physical Jesus. Do you know why it happened like that? It's because at the time, nobody was born again. Jesus needed to be there. But now, here we are today. We have this house. And we have received Jesus. And we now have a living Mary, if you will, on the inside of us. We are born again with the life of God in our spirit. But Martha is still running all over the place on the inside. Every time something comes up, Martha's running over here, Martha's running over there. Now, I don't want to sound depressing or anything, but you are never going to get Martha to give up. Martha's desire is going to be to serve all the time. But what you have to do is force your Martha. If she doesn't want to sit, she doesn't have to sit. If she wants to stand up, let her stand. But you have to force yourself to sit at the feet of Jesus to receive what he has to say to you. Martha isn't always going to like this. Sometimes she'll be in a better mood than others. She'll leave you alone. Other times, as you're sitting at the feet of Jesus, receiving instructions from Him, Martha is going to be screaming in your ear about the dirty dishes, about the dirty laundry, about somebody that you need to go visit, about someone, hey, no, you don't need to go to church today. You don't need to go to church today. You need to go do this and serve Jesus by doing this thing over here. No, you don't need to go this, and you don't need to do, and you can't, and it's not. Do listen to me. I've been around longer than you, Mary. I know what the deal is. Trust me. I've always been right. That's what Martha will tell you all the time. Isn't it, Jerry? Martha's going to tell you she's always right. It is rare when your Martha is going to agree with your Mary. But your Mary's the one that's hearing Jesus. And then when your Mary hears from Jesus, she's able to convey information to Martha, to the decision-making process. And at first, Martha may say, oh, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Now you want to fast? Oh, we can't have that. I'll make you so hungry you'll be miserable. Don't you understand? If you don't eat, you can't have strength. If you don't have strength, you can't serve Jesus. You're always going to have conflict in the house. Because the emotions don't like to do nothing but sit at the feet of Jesus. They don't like that. Your Martha wants to do something. But your Mary knows, if I don't sit here, I'm not going to hear. If I don't sit here, I'm not going to receive. If I don't sit here, I'm not going to become so familiar with the voice of my Lord that I will be able to distinguish Him clearly when Martha tries to take over and tell me what's better and tell me that serving Jesus over here is the better thing to do. Trust me, Jesus will give instructions to your Mary that sometimes don't make Martha sense. But they make Mary sense. They make life sense. They make Jesus sense. And it's not going to happen. You don't get this information if you don't sit with Jesus. Hey, I'm no different than anybody else. If I don't sit there and receive from Him, I don't receive from Him. And I can make all kinds of Martha decisions in my life. I have made all kinds of Martha decisions in my life. And I don't like that. But I can tell you this, if you don't spend time, all of us, if we don't spend time at the feet of Jesus, then we are going to become so influenced by Martha's input to our decision-making process that we will get to the point of thinking that Martha really does know better. Then you talk about somebody that's messed up big time. Because then somebody else comes into the picture and says, you know, this really is not of God. The person's going to say, oh, but it is. I have prayed about it. And Martha answered. And here's the critical point. If you can't get that individual to shut Martha up, they're going to have one foot on Martha's path and one foot on Mary's path. And they're going to be walking crippled the rest of their life. If you don't let Mary run the house, you're never going to hear from Jesus. Oh, you go to heaven. We're not talking about that. We're talking about finding out what He wants and knowing His will. Knowing for sure what He wants. Because I'm going to tell you what, your Martha can get so frustrated that she learns how to imitate the voice of Jesus. And she'll be more than happy to try and imitate him so that you will do what she wants as opposed to what Jesus wants. This is not an easy process. But easy or hard, you know what's good about it? Is the fact that we can know what to do to get it right. And what do? Pray in the Spirit. Sit at the feet of Jesus. And we can get to the place to where, yeah, Martha's going to have her say so, but we don't listen to her. Go ahead and talk, Martha. Go ahead, just flap those jaws all you want. But I have learned not to listen to you. I will listen to the voice of my Savior, Jesus Christ. I am born again with the life of God. Mary is going to rule. Hallelujah. Don't fall into the trap of Martha and let her run the house. You'll serve and you'll do good things, and boy, you'll probably have a wonderful reputation. But you won't be hearing Jesus. And I don't know about you. I want to hear Jesus. I want to hear what he has to say. I want to know, does he want a hot dog or a hamburger? And fix him what he wants. Hallelujah. Sausage or bacon, Jesus? Which one? Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Obey the voice of your Mary and stand up and worship the Lord. Hallelujah.